So hi, Only Good Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with...
I'm Connie from Sea Space Cowboy.
And we're asking some questions today about the upcoming album Coup de Grâce. So congrats on that, by the way. How do you feel about the response, the announcement so far?
It's been really, really cool, actually. You never know when you start dropping a new record and stuff. So it's been really, really nice to get a really positive review and kind of have like the effort we put into like the whole look and everything like appreciated.
Hell yeah. This album. Holy shit.
Damn. I just first listen. Jesus Christ. You guys, I can't praise it enough. Yeah. You guys fucking crushed it.
Yeah, we've been talking about this album all week, like in preparation to chat with you. Mm-hmm. We're both just blown away by it. I got goosebumps the first time I listened to it. This is gonna shake things up for you big time, and I'm stoked to see what happens.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
The title definitely was this like kind of play off of like I wanted to take a really like violent like term. Like traditionally that's like the final blow of a duel. That's like the end. That's like the thing that like kind of closes the curtain on like whatever conflict you're having. But I wanted to like take it and spin the meaning into like a different way. Like to me, like the phrase meant like the coup de grâce of like, you know, your life from serenity to like chaos or from serenity to like bliss could like just be like a single look someone gives you from across the room. It could be like something someone says to you. It could be an invitation. It could be someone's hand on like the small of your back. Like I really wanted to like take this idea of like instead of like the end of your life as like the end of your inhibitions, like what would that be like? And like because a lot of this album deals with lust and hedonism and sex and relationships and love and yada yada yada. So that really played into it. And then like the album cover itself, like just these two women just like in like a moment in time, you know, nothing else like around them. It's just literally just like them in the darkness. Like it's like them like enjoying each other regardless, even though everything around them is like it doesn't matter. Like nothing, like let's be honest. When you're having sex or whatever, the world around you doesn't fucking matter. When you're having like moments of bliss or like moments of like just like pure love, like nothing matters around you at that moment. So like that was kind of like playing into like the title and the album cover, like and like the whole nature of like having a really just like empty, you know, like vinyl packaging design and all that.
Gotcha, gotcha. So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the album?
So, I mean, we started out, this record, like, started with, like, a visual idea. I was, like, something that, like, I, like, had in my head of, like, oh, like, I really like Moulin Rouge by, like, Baz Luhrmann. I really like, noir, and I really like, you know, like, movies like Babylon, and I really, like, had this, like, thing in my head of, like, this, like, 1920s to 1940s, like, Prohibition era, backroom speakeasy vibe. And I took that to our guitarist, Timmy, and I was like, hey, I have this crazy idea. I think you of all people would appreciate it because, you know, he's like a huge fan of A Fever You Can't Sweat Out by Panic at the Disco. And they kind of like have that like circusy vibe. And like we wanted to do a little bit more serious. And we kind of started talking and we're like, well, what if like for the sound that we did for this record, instead of like melodramatic, like just post-hardcore like we had done with The Romance of Affliction, our last record, what if we like added in these like elements of like dance? What if we like took from like these dancey kind of indie rock bands that like were coming around when we were growing up, like Two Door Cinema Club, Block Party, Get Full, and like Fools and things like that. And like those were bands that like meant a lot to me growing up, just as much as like hardcore and like screamo did, you know. Like I saw like my first concert ever was seeing Interpol and Block Party like right when Silent Alarm came out. And like, you know, I remember when Tourist History by Two Door Cinema Club dropped when I was like a sophomore in high school, and it was like the craziest thing ever to me. So we like really wanted to imbue that into it, and part of taking that aesthetic and like this whole like new vibe of like dancing and hedonism and like lust and all this was that we wanted to fully commit to it and like write these lounge tracks that we did too. So we wanted like it kind of just became a thing of like, are we gonna commit ourselves to this vibe? And we just kind of like, yeah, like fuck it, we're gonna do it. And that's like how the lounge tracks came about. Timmy hit up his homie who plays saxophone. Like that's a real saxophone, it's not a MIDI saxophone, you know. Like we like made it all we like dove into like this thing and like how we could like play around with these different influences that we're throwing in that we wouldn't really had heard bands take from, and like how we could make it all work. Lots of like staying in a cabin together, locked up for like a week or 2 weeks to like write music, and like how are we gonna do this, and like like Chewing the Scenery is like a good track that like shows that. That was like the second song we ever wrote, really, like the first full song we wrote, and like that was like a good experimental track of like, can we do this like waltz part in the beginning into like this other stuff, into like these like weird like indie rocky kind of twangy like guitar parts. It's kind of just a big period of experimentation till we could like lock things in.
Gotcha. And you mentioned the visual aspect was kind of the spark for this record. Is that typically how albums kind of start for you guys, where it's like you bring the visual aspect and then you write songs around that, or was this a unique case?
This was very unique. We've never done that before. It's usually we'll write out a sound and then we will build visuals around that. So like this is like the first time we've taken it super seriously. Like everything correlates together on the album. We've never really done that before. We've usually just been like, we wrote this album. What's gonna fit well for it? Every music video has a different vibe. Just like whatever we want to do. Like last ones were like we want to do a Wes Anderson like video, and then we want to do like a really like grimy kind of clubby video with a bunch of like queer people and stuff. So like this record was the first time it was like a whole unified like aesthetic, and like it wasn't just like a, all right, music's done, now it's time to think about art. Like this was definitely like created from the beginning with like a specific visual look in mind.
Hell yeah. And can you give a little bit of a timeline of like when the creation of this album started and then when it ended?
I don't remember exactly what tour we were on. It's been like a year, like over a year at least. I don't know. I just remember it started at a Chipotle on the road, and I had the initial idea. And then I think it was probably around the time we played This Is Hardcore that we went, and we had a break between we did a tour, we played This Is Hardcore, then we had 10 days in between it before we started our tour with 18 Visions. So those 10 days were our first time. We went to the Poconos and we had a cabin there. That's when we first started like actually writing the record. Yeah, I think that was like 2022 maybe that we did that Vanity tour. And then yeah, then we kind of just like worked on it when we could from then on. And then we went into the studio and like finally like committed to like writing and recording right before that the Silverstein tour that we did.
Gotcha. All right.
Sounds good. So what song off this album took the longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
My favorite of the album. I mean, my favorite is like the song "Lubricant Like Kerosene" that has not come out yet. But that's probably like my favorite track on the record. Really dancey, really like just kind of groovy. Nah, it's like very far removed from like a metalcore song or like a post-hardcore song. It's like the very like just like indulgently influenced by like the Blood Brothers and shit like that. That's probably like my favorite song on the record.
Oh yeah. And which one took the longest to write?
Nothing on this record really took like a long time. So they were pretty quick. We wrote like quite a few songs with like Isaac from Knock Loose, who was like the producer for Romance. But like no song took more than like a day to like crank out. Like we were like we're pretty quick about it. There wasn't a lot of revisions. It was kind of just like coming, all the songs came to us like pretty quickly. Probably the song we worked on the longest was Chewing the Scenery, just because it was the first like dive in, and I feel like we played around with that one the most, like trying to make everything work. Then once we had that, then we kind of felt free and liberated to every other song. Like we didn't feel like we had to like play around with as much, because we just kind of felt more of a freedom to be like, it's okay if it's completely different. Like Rhythm and Rapture is entirely different from anything we've ever made, and it was just felt okay to like let that happen. So like everything was pretty quick after that. It just kind of all like came together. No song that we were really like sitting there stumped on. Sister with a Gun was a song that we were really like arguing about for a long time, like up until like the album was like minted and everything, but never changed about the song. We just had a lot of arguments about it.
Fair enough. And you mentioned like a lot of the songs on the record, really it was a day of writing, and then that you kind of moved on to the next one. Was that a conscious decision, or did that just kind of how the writing process fell for you guys?
No, it just kind of how it felt. We felt really free. We felt like really like we were just like allowed to like do whatever we wanted. Like it was really a cowboy record where we didn't feel constrained. Like we're not often a band that like will like tear apart a song a million times and put it back together a million times. Like we'll usually just be like, oh, it's like cool. It's rocks. It's like, you know, move on. It's like, cause like we're a band that like really is fixated first of all on like what we want and like not really what's going to be popular or what like that the audience might want to hear. We're a selfish band. We don't really, you know, like sit there and think like what like commoditarily like what is like radio friendly and blah blah blah. We kind of just like write whatever the fuck we want to write and like show it to like whoever's like producing the record, and like if they say it's dope, and like we never really had like a producer come and be like, oh, this song kind of like is whack, y'all, like we gotta change it or anything like that. So we're fairly confident in like what we do just because it is just for us. And there's never like a thing, right? Oh, it has to be like this song structure. It has to be just this. It's like, it's really up to us.
Keeps things fulfilling. And it also kind of sets the tone for the fans that like expect anything, expect everything and everything.
Yeah. You're going to get a cowboy record no matter what. Nobody's going to tamper with it too much. And like, it's just kind of like, we've noticed that like when we go into studios, people who work with us know that, and like it's kind of like a thing where like they get what we're doing, and they don't want to change that very much.
That's good.
Damn right.
So how did the track list for the album come about? Did you guys write the opener be the opener, close be a closer, to shuffle around and see what fits? What was that process like?
No, we kind of just wrote a million songs, and we tried to like make sure that we covered the gamut of like what we wanted. Like, yeah, we consciously did write an opening track where like, oh yeah, we should have something that's explosive. But then we kind of also like negated that explosion because we ended up writing like that, more lounge music and stuff like that. So like we did consciously like think about for certain tracks, but for the most part, we usually was write a bunch of tracks, make sure we hit every like note that we want to hit, and then be like, okay, now like what's the order? You know, aside from like this is obviously a beginning, this is obviously an end, and like, you know, Respite is obviously like an interlude. Like other than that, it's like everything just gets filled in like where we feel like it makes sense.
Fair enough.
Makes sense. All right. So would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this record?
Just trying to be like as creative as possible. Like that's usually like where like our headspace is at. It's like it's always just about like creativity and like making something that's like uniquely like cowboy to us. Just because like we're not like I said we're like not a band that like really is like thinking like too structurally about like what we need to do. It's kind of just like a big free-for-all in terms of sound. So like, you know, there might be like other bands that like would like, if you when someone said, hey, we're gonna write like an indie rock track, they'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And like there's definitely like people who on our team who are like, what the fuck do you mean you're gonna write an indie rock track? And but like we're just like, yeah, we're gonna write an indie rock track, it's gonna be cool. And like, that's like what we do. Like we're pretty just like not constrained by anything, so we'll like do whatever we want. So that's the mindset is you just like pure creativity. It's like if you want it, like make it.
For sure. Hell yeah. Because you aren't kind of confined to like a box for genres, do you find it a bit challenging to kind of keep everything cohesive, like listening wise?
No. And like there's probably people who don't like that about us, that like we're pretty just like free and like kind of stupid. Because there are things that like we feel like keep it like cowboy. Like, sass vocals obviously keep it cowboy. Like obviously like some like having like some sort of like chaotic element to it usually like keeps it like cowboy, like some sort of like dissonant weirdo part in there. There are like little like things that we do that like keep it in the realm, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but for the most part, like with this record at least, there wasn't really much of a concern that, like this doesn't sound like cowboy, or this doesn't sound like classic cowboy. Like it was more just like, What do we want? Like, do you want to do that, or you want like a Latin guitar part? Like, sure, fucking do it. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
That sounds sick. You know, so yeah, like it was very free to do whatever we wanted on this record. In the past, there's been like times where we're a bit more like, Okay, like when we were first like exploring like being melodic like on with the Romance of Affection, we definitely had these moments where like whoa, was this like too straying too far from like what we are, but like on this record it's just like yeah, I don't care, like just do it,
Throw
like
caution to the wind.
yeah,
Fuck it.
fun.
Yeah.
So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should you do in the car with friends and talk with headphones on? Is it a workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
I mean, probably like by yourself, since like there's really like a big journey to the record, and there's a lot of like songs that like you probably aren't gonna wanna like put on as like the banger tracks with the homies, you know, since there is like lounge songs and shit in there. Probably album best like listen to like on its own, and then like because it really is an album that's like a journey. It's like kind of like a concept album in a way. No, I like think of it framed as like the entire album is a story being told by the narrator, being Iris IEXE. And like we're just kind of like the actors like playing out like the stories that she's telling like on stage kind of thing.
Yeah. So did you go into the writing process with kind of that loose concept record idea, or did it just kind of come together as you were making it?
I had like the idea of like I didn't have like imagery nailed down. Like when it came time to like write lyrics, it definitely came more to the front. Like I had this idea of like doing this like Tales of the City sort of thing in my head, like this kind of like weird version of like Sin City by Frank Miller, like graphic novel style, like a bunch of interconnecting tales all under one banner. But the themes of like the main like imagery really came together more as we started like writing the lyrics, like the city on fire kind of thing, like this like constant like themes of like dancing and like you know intimacy and stuff definitely came more to the surface. But like the setting and like the imagery and like the style was always there. It was just more so what do we want to focus on in terms of like the actual words and imagery that we would use on the record. That came more together when it time to actually when it was time to start writing lyrics.
Gotcha. Makes
Gotcha.
sense. So this one should be super quick. Off the top of your head, I want you to describe this album for new listeners in three words. No more, no less.
Dancy, which isn't a word, but I'm making it a word.
Fun.
Fun and suggestive.
Ooh, okay.
That's good. All
That
right.
one.
And in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the album?
No, not really. I feel like art is fun to just have people like take it as they will, you know, whether people clutch their pearls or whether people like are really like into like the idea of what we are trying to say, or like the stories that we are trying to tell. There's not really like an agenda to this record. It's more just like, this is the story that I have to tell, and it's like based on like things that have happened to me. And there's not something that it's not really supposed to influence. It's just literally just telling stories.
Makes sense. All
Gotcha.
right.
All right. So, are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this record, positive or negative?
The initial process of figuring out how to like do in interesting things and like make them flow well, because like while we were and like letting things just kind of happen as they will and like being creative, we still wanted to be somewhat cohesive in terms of like the listening experience, like song to song. So that was like something that was like definitely a little bit like interesting to try and like pull together. That's something that like is why Chewing the Scenery took the longest to write. Like, how do you do a song that has breakdowns, choruses, and like these a waltz part in the beginning and a weird like little like fun dancey break in the center, you know? But I feel like we like kind of keyed into that really quickly. It was like, okay, cool, like we can do it. And then we had that confidence, and then it was like, okay, cool.
So that song just kind of broke the ice for what the rest of the album became. Got it.
And like that was like the initial intention of like locking ourselves in a cabin for 10 days just to like wait, like eat, talk shit to each other and write. That's like all we did for those 10 days.
Yeah, I feel like the cabin thing works pretty well for bands. Just locking yourselves away in a remote location, you're bound to make something creative. Yeah, hell yeah. So for this question, why don't you picture you're on tour, you're at a gas station for a rest stop. What is your snack of choice?
I like pistachios and I like to drink the pineapple coconut body armor. Those are like my
Ooh.
two favorite ones.
All
Damn
right.
right. Damn
Solid.
right. And on the topic of food, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be and why?
Probably like a vegan cheese board, just because like I feel like there's like so many different flavors that you can have on a cheese board, like you combined onto like a cracker or like a little crostini or whatever, and like it creates like this like interest flavors that you don't necessarily think would work together, like apples and cheese and shit like that, but like it works like really well together. So like I would say like a vegan cheese board,
That's good.
I
That's
love that.
hams and
Yeah.
cheese,
whatever.
Oh yeah. And for the last couple questions, I'm going to shift completely away from music and go straight to death row.
Boom.
So if you're on death row, what would your last meal be with a drink?
Oh, a vegan banh mi from Tofu Deli in Seattle. That place fucking rules, and like that barbecue tofu banh barbecue like pork banh mi is like amazing. And then I'd probably like say bend the fucking rules and give me like one last mojito.
Okay.
Sounds good.
And if you could live in one fictional world for a week, where would you live?
I'd probably like go. I'd like probably like pick something like noir and like cool. I'd probably go to like Frank Miller's like Sin City just for like that like seedy kind of like watch your back like survive. You know, just like that is like something that I know it's heavily romanticized in my mind, but like I don't know, the idea of just like drinking in a bar and like walking down alleys and things like that, like that kind of like detective noir thing is like really appealing to me. So I'd probably pick that.
Right.
All right. That's
And
good.
I've not asked the last question. Every single person that we've spoken to have said that it is the most important question. What's your favorite color?
Olive green.
Ooh, good pick.
Yeah, that's a good color.
Solid.
So as I said, that's all the questions you have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
Not really. I mean, I don't know. Go vegan, free Palestine. I hope you like the fucking record. If you don't, that's fine.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, thank you. It's been Connie from CU Space Cowboy, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.